Our scripture reading is taken from the Old Testament, Psalms chapter 118, verses 1 through 4. Psalms chapter 118, verses 1 through 4. Once you find it, please say amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Amen.
It's finally here. I've always wanted this day to come, and I never dreamt that one day I will actually be, standing here, you know, praising God for what he has done. And so I'm very, very thankful. I'm very, very happy. I was a little bit nervous. However, thank God that I have families here who are like encouraging me, praying for me. So I'm very thankful for that. Well, today's preaching is about God. It's about what God has done for me over the years. I have two parts of the story. However, today specifically, I'm going to be preaching part one. And by the grace of God, if I come back, I'll preach part two. The title of my sermon is God is Good and His Mercy Endures Forever. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. O Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit to please be upon me. Let your word be my word. Humble my heart and transform all of us, our mind, into your spirit. We thank you for today, and we thank you that you are the God of love, and your mercy always endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading is taken from Psalm 118, verse 1 to 4. Just like my dear brother, Pastor Elder Pedro said, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let Israel say, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And I will say, Let the joy of true members say, The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. We should always thank God, not just because God is good to us, or maybe God has blessed us because we have something very special. We should always thank God, just like the Bible has said. We should thank God whether he's been good to us, or we should thank God whether he has not been good to us. Amen. Well, there's a lot of things that God has done for me today. However, I'm going to share with you how I ended up here in Albany. It's just a long story, but I felt like the Holy Spirit touched my heart to preach this today. It all started in high school. When I was in high school, all that I wanted was just to pass my tests, pass my regents, and at least get accepted into a college. Some people in high school already knew what they wanted to do. However, for me, it felt like I was still new to the American system. I didn't know where to start. I have just come to America 1 year in middle school, went to high school, and now it's time for me to go to college. And I didn't know where to start. Began to panic and then nervous, and I started questioning myself. Maybe it's not right for me. Maybe God wants me to do something. I was just thinking, and as a high school student, a teen, I was very, very sad and very, very depressed. Thank God, as I was still praying, by his grace, I came across a college called College Access Program. And this program basically helps students, like high school students, to find the right college. They take them on a college trip. They pay for all the expenses. And I know that by the grace of God, they helped me a lot. They helped me with my expenses. I did not pay for anything. I knew that God's eyes were upon me because everything started to fall in place, just like he had promised. He will go before me and instruct me with what to do. The college took us to Binghamton, to UAlbany, to New Paltz, and to Sage. I knew that God's hands was upon me because at first I didn't know where to start. But as I began to go through the college, after I began to go through the tolls, I started to learn more about the colleges. So now I had choice of what I wanted to do. A girl who didn't know where to start, but now she's starting to know where she wanted to go. As I was deciding, I mean, sometimes they say you shouldn't judge a school by its appearance, but for me, as a high school student, it was kind of like a big deal. I wanted to go to Oswego's, I wanted to go to Binghamton, I wanted to go to Plattsburgh, and then Sage. Back in 08, Sage didn't have the appearance that it has today. So when I saw Sage, I was like, this school, I'm not applying to. Never in my life. But it's kind of funny of how I'm preaching about it. As you all know, I graduated from Sage. And the question is, what influenced me to apply to Sage? Something I said, I will never apply to Sage. Sometimes what we may want may not actually be what God wants for us. And what we may want may actually be what God wants for us. Well, I was still praying, but I knew what I want, just like everybody knows what they want. If they want something, they go for it. If they don't want something, they just don't think about it. I also knew that my mom was praying for me a lot. So I knew that God was definitely on the mission. And his hands was upon me, and basically he was just looking at me. He's like, okay, I got everything. Just don't worry. You could just decide what you want to decide, but I have everything all in control. This story kind of reminds me of Lot. When God planned in his mind that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, basically he revealed his deepest secret to Abraham. He didn't have to reveal it to him, but he revealed it to him because Abraham was very obedient and he was loyal to God, and God loved him very much. God kept his promise to Abraham and made a promise that he was going to save Lot. But as you all know, Lot's wife just loved her sin. She just loved the things that she possessed. As a result, she basically lost his life. Can someone read for me Genesis verse 18, verse 17 to 20? Yeah. Genesis 18, verse 17 to 20. And also Genesis 19, verse 15 to 17. To 20, yeah.
Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous.
Can someone also read for me Genesis 19, verse 15 to 17?
Genesis 19, 15 to 17?
Yeah.
When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed by the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed.
As you know, I mean, just by reading this verse, you could tell that Lot had nothing to do with it. It was God's love for Abraham, because first he revealed it to him because he knew how Abraham was going to, you know, feel if God would have destroyed the city. So basically, he revealed it to him, and this made Abraham to intercede for Lot, and God kept his promise by forcefully taking Lot and his family out of the city, even though Lot did not want to move. So what do I mean by this? If we have a feeling, or if we hear that God is talking to us, we should never ignore the feelings or the voice. We should never say, oh, maybe I'll pray later, or maybe I'll just, it's just a feeling, because we never know what will happen. Because if Abraham would have said, oh, okay, God, let your will be done, and I know you're still going to bless me, God would have destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and that would have also included Lot. But Abraham did not just think about himself. He thought about his family, and he prayed for him. As a result of it, Lot was saved. So what I'm saying is, if God reveals something to us, we should always pray for someone, because even the prayers can also be for myself. Recently, I have been praying for my sister. I don't know why. Every time that I'll be walking around, my sister's name will come to mind, and I'll start to pray for them. So when I went home last Sunday, I was talking to her about God, and she said, oh, guess what happened? I was like, okay, what happened? She said that we were at a park, because this lady has just come from Africa, and she was just showing her around, and she and her and my nephew, they went to the park, and it was just sitting there. It was just a beautiful Saturday. And all of a sudden, she heard these gunshots, and everybody were just on the floor, and the trees were like falling. And she said for 2 days, she just did not go outside. Imagine if one of my prayers saved her life or saved my nephew. Who knew what those prayers were for? I had no idea that it could happen to her, or her seeing a gunshot. Well, back to my story. I knew that my mom was praying for me. However, my mind was set. I'm not applying to Sage. When it was actually time for me to start applying to Sage, to start applying to colleges, I put all my first choice, Binghamton, Oswego's, Syracuse, and all the other top colleges. Then I submitted an application. And I began to pray harder, because I knew that then God has to listen to me, because I'm praying, God, and I've already submitted the application, so there's no way God is just going to ignore me. But you know what? God is a God who, like, you cannot trick God. He is very powerful. Just like Jonah, you know, he thought, okay, I could just escape from God. We all knew what happened to him. There is nothing too big or too small for God. He needs no one's help, and what he says always comes to pass. So the application was done, and I went to my program advisor, who was also helping me to fill the application. When I went there, she was very happy for me. She was like, hey, so what happened? Tell me what happened with the application. I was telling her, I was like, yeah, I applied to this college. I went to this college. She was so happy for me. She said, what about Sage? I was like, well, I don't want to apply to Sage. She was like, are you kidding me, Edna? So she was like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pay for the application process, and we're going to apply whether you like it or not, but decide if you want to go. So I was like, you know what, I'm not going to pay for the application process, so I'll just go ahead and apply for it. So she actually went on her computer and then started filling the applications, and it was time for me to put my social security and all those kind of stuff. So I took over, and then I added everything, and then I submitted the application to God. I was not really happy because Sage was applied. However, I was like, you know what? That's fine. God knows my heart, and he knows what I want, and he has promised that he'll give me my heart desires. I was constantly praying to God. And usually my prayers were, God, please let your will be done. But every time that I was done with the prayer, I would say, God, you know my heart. You know that I don't want to go to college. You know that I don't want to go to Sage. You know I love Binghamton. You know I love this. Please listen to my heart, but not the words that I'm saying. It's just, I don't know why, but I was just praying to God. But I was like, you know what, that's fine. So as she was speaking, she said to me, hey, Edna, no, actually, as After we were done with application, she called one of her friends, and her friend was the HEOP director, and Sage has the HEOP director, and he basically helps students with financing. So he looked over the application. He said, okay, I'll look at it again. But as time went on, I was still praying, God, please just listen to my heart. You really don't want to go to Oswego's. But by the grace of God, everything changed, and my heart was not too much into, like, I want to go to Sage, I don't want to go to Sage. This story actually sounds like God is very, like, a dictator. Why is he giving me something I don't want? I've already said, God, I don't want to apply to Sage, so why is he bringing someone in my life to apply to Sage? Sometimes most Christian women, so maybe most Christian men, when it's time for us to mate and we look on our side and we think, maybe God wants us to marry this person. Even though you know that you're not attractive to that person, you start to think, maybe God this, maybe God that. We start to think so low for God. Or sometimes if you really, really want a car, like a 2014 car and a 2001 car, and you just go there, and as a Christian, you're supposed to think very simple, and you start to think, I think God wants me to have this 2001 car because it's very simple and it could just take me from here to there. And sometimes too, and we start to think, maybe God doesn't want me to have this 2004 car. And we begin to think so low, and we begin to actually settle too low for God. I guess that was what I was doing. I was just settling too low for myself. But as reading the Bible, I've come to realize that God never settles his children too low. He's always doing great things for us. Just like he said, he will open windows of heaven for us and pour out his blessing just for our 10%. Does this seem like God is going to settle something too low for us because of our 10% tithe? I know that God doesn't settle too low for his people because he said we are the apple of his eyes, and also to his treasure possession. And he will also exchange people's life for the sake of ours because he loves us. Does this sound like God will settle his children too low? No, he never does that. And most importantly, he says that his thoughts for us are not of evil, but of a good end. Does it sound like God will settle his children for something that they do not like? No. God is who he said he is, and he is light. The moment that we begin to think something evil for God, the moment that we begin to think, oh, maybe God doesn't want me to have this, that is very, very painful, because the last thing that we want to do is accusing God of something that he is not. And just like he said, he is the light, and the light can never be mixed with darkness. So we should always reconsider about something that we are doing. The fact in my story is, even though I didn't want to go to Sage, even though I was thinking that maybe God is going to give me something that I actually did not want, God was actually the one who was actually fighting my battle for me. He didn't have to even decide. He knew the future. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that Oswego's, Binghamton, and all the top choices that I have chosen were going to deny me before he even said a word. He knew that was really going to hurt, because can you even imagine of just applying to the schools and Sage not included, and all of a sudden you waiting, and nothing. Rejection. God knew that the end of results was going to be very, very hard on me, and he knew that it was also not going to be very happy to him, because who will imagine their child go through pain and feel happy? I don't know about you, but I know that God was not going to be happy if his child was not happy. I knew that God himself was acting in my case, and basically he was deciding whether I like it or not, because he was doing the best for me. I realized that which advisor will actually take it upon herself and said, whether you like it or not, I'm applying for you. Definitely is God, because I've realized that most of the people in America, they respect people's decision. The moment you say, hey, you know, I'm doing this, they said, okay, I respect your decision and go ahead. But for her, something, she was just saying, you know what, no, we are going to apply. God was very merciful to me. He just did not listen to me because he knew that he was doing something that I was not going to resist. He intervened for me. God, just like he intervened for Lot, even though Lot did not want to move from the city, he basically forced them out of the city. Well, as you know, and I've said, all the top choices rejected me. However, before I knew that, God actually allowed Sage to invite. Sage was the first program that basically invited me. And with the invitation, I was like, okay, I'm still waiting for all those top choices, but I'm going to give Sage a try. So I went to Sage, and the interview was really great. The people that they were interviewing me, they seemed very passionate. They were asking me questions about, so how's Ghana, how's your family, and who doesn't like to be, you know, to be loved, and ask them about their families and how are they doing. So I felt really, really good. I was like, wow, they're very good, and I felt like home. And also, too, the classes were very, very small, so I was like, I like the school. I like something very small. I'm not like a person who gets very, who's like, goes into a big crowd. So after the invitation, the HOP director knew that if I accept the offer, the school was going to give me a scholarship, and also, too, the program was going to give me a scholarship. So he said, why don't you give it a try? You really like Sage. I was like, okay, I'll think about it. God knew my mind. He knew that the moment that Oswego or Binghamton comes on the way, definitely I was just going to reject all the offer. So after all the good things, then I started receiving the letter from the schools, and it says rejections. However, it was not all just that rejections. I also received some from Buffalo, invitation from Buffalo, and also it's invitation from Buffalo State. But I'm a type of person, I cannot do with distance. It doesn't matter how far it is, I just cannot do with distance. So I ignored those invitations. And I was still waiting on some of the schools that I really wanted to go. I was waiting, rejection. But you know what? I realized, you know what? God has given me something really good. First year in college, I'm getting a scholarship. Another program is willing to help me out. So why am I putting such a big block in my eyes and just going for my heart desire? Maybe God is doing something in my life. Maybe God knows what is going to happen. So he was like, you know what, that's fine. I'll just go to Sage. Oh, sorry. Okay, so all of the people were nice to me, and as time went on, during my last year in school, I also received, during my last year in high school, I received a letter from one of my college advisors, and she said, hey, we have a scholarship that has come on the way, and we think that you might be a great fit for it. So basically, he said, "Do you want to try to apply for the scholarship?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So I applied for the scholarship, and by the grace of God, I got the 3 scholarship. I knew that God's eyes were upon me, and I knew that His blessings were upon me. This is something I could have never asked for more. Even though I was praying for something very, very low, a school that they were not even going to pay for a lot of my programs, God said, "You know what? I will help you, and forget about how you feel. I'm going to help you." By the grace of God, I came back again to Albany, and I just loved Albany, and I felt like this is going to be my next home. As time went on, receiving a lot of blessings, the way I purchased my car, the way I got my job, and also to the way I met Marina at school was through a Bible study. And also to the most important thing, by His grace, I've become an SDA. I was never a Seventh-day Adventist. I was a Sunday worshiper. And by the grace of God, I was baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist. And now I'm a member of the Joy of Troy. Who knew that God was actually planning this for me? God has been very good to me. And His plans in my life is just phenomenal. It's something I simply cannot just keep quiet, but to thank God and thank God and thank God. And I'm very happy to God because I am on fire. Not only that I receive all these blessings, however, I have also come to know God more and praying to God and sharing the word of God, because at first my Christianity was not that great, but now everything is going as God has planned. God is love. His love for us is something that we can never understand. I try to understand, but every time that I try, it's just not successful because his love is just too great. Sometimes I used to think that maybe it's because I'm just nice to someone, or maybe it's just because of my 10% tithe, but it has nothing to do with my faithful tithe. God simply just loves us whether we like it or not, and his love is something that we can never understand. God is willing to honor us if we honor him more, and also if we are willing to put him first. God is love, and his love endures forever. And we should always seek God because he is love. Well, as you all know, I'm leaving. I've not broadly said a word, but you all know that I'm leaving Albany. And I know that the same God who brought me here, if it is his will bring me back. And I'm very thankful for the Joy of Troy family because they have been my family. I could have never asked for more. And I'm very thankful to God. And I pray that God brings me back once I'm done with school. Amen. Amen. I will exalt the Lord at all time. His praise will continuously be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the affliction hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us all exalt his holy name. Amen.